Now that the young folks have shown you old folks how easy it is to remember the books of the Bible, you'll have to go and learn them so that you can repeat them as well as they did. John chapter 3, verse 34. I want to read several scriptures to you, all dealing with the theme about the words that our Savior spoke. He giveth him not the Spirit by measure. Now, chapter 7. Verse 15. The Jews therefore marvel, saying, how knoweth this man letters, having never learned? Jesus therefore answered them and said, my teaching is not mine, but his that sent me. If any man willeth to do his will, he shall know of the teaching, whether it is of God, or whether I speak from myself. Chapter 8, look at verse 26. I have many things to speak and to judge concerning you. Howbeit, he that sent me is true, and the things which I heard from him, these speak I unto the world. They perceive not that he spake to them of the Father. Jesus therefore said, when you have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall ye know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself, but as the Father taught me, I speak these things. And now, look at verse 49 of chapter 12. Chapter 12, verse 49. Some are going to reject the sayings of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he says, if you do, what I said to you will judge you in the last day, for I spake not from myself, but the Father that sent me. He hath given me a commandment, what I should say and what I should speak. Chapter 17, for the last reference. Verse 1, these things spake Jesus, and lifting up his eyes to heaven, he said, Father. And verse 8, for the words which thou gavest me, I have given unto them, and they received them, and knew of a truth, that I came forth from thee, and they believed that thou didst send me. Let us speak to God again in prayer. Our Father, let us know that in a world of confusion, it is with joy and blessing of soul we come to words like these that were spoken by thy Son. We thank you for the word of God that liveth and abideth forever. It is our foundation. It is our hope. Our Father, thou dost know that the world needs it as its foundation and hope, but the world is unaware of its being the only hope, the only foundation. And that is why we preach and we pray that thy Spirit may do his work in the hearts, the hardened hearts of men and the blinded eyes of men, that they may see the truth as it is in thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so while praying for the world, we pray for ourselves this morning. Let us know those who are here. Our Father, we recall that there were two thieves crucified with thy Son, one as near as the other, and one let eternal life slip by. There are those who are here this morning who have the opportunity to be saved. Some may be as that thief who let the opportunity slip by. Let them know that this is the hour of salvation. By thy Spirit work in their hearts, and work upon the lips of thy servant, and cleanse us from our sins, because we confess them, that we may be worthy to speak the truth concerning him. Hear us, we pray, in the name of Jesus Christ, the Lord. Amen. Some weeks ago, I went to visit an elderly lady in a rest home who had mental problems. And you would think that in a case like this, she would sit by quietly, receive everything you had to say with open arms and delight that someone had come to speak to her from the Holy Scriptures. But after I'd spoken to her for a while and asked how she was feeling, what her condition was, and it was about time to go, I said, "Before I go, I would like to read to you from the Word of God." And this woman, who is supposed to be a mental patient, said to me, "You know, there are some people who say that the Bible is just another piece of literature." Now think of this. A person who is a mental patient, and yet in her mind, the seed is sown that the Bible is just another piece of literature. You usually get this argument from educated people. People that are old and feeble, people that are just, as the Bible says, the common people, they hear you gladly as they heard Christ gladly. But here is a woman who is old and feeble and confined to a rest home, has mental problems, and yet in her mind, somehow, this fact has been instilled. Some people say the Bible is just another piece of literature. And some of you out there might not have any higher estimate of this Bible from which I read than that woman who is a mental patient is. Now, you could be merciful with her because you say she has mental problems. She does not know. But you could go to, Pembroke State, right here, and go ask some of the professors, "Do you believe that this is the Word of God that liveth and abideth forever?" And since these are learned men, what will they tell you? The same thing that said to you. Some say, and I am of the opinion, that this Bible is just another piece of literature. Well, if it is, go to the Mormon Church, or go to the Christian Science Church, or go to the Baha'i Faith Church, go anywhere in the world. If this Bible is just another piece of literature, you're wasting your time coming here, because if it is just another piece of literature, then there is nothing in the world but literature, the literature of men, and one is just as good as another. And so, go and pick out what you want. And therefore, if the Quran is what you like, then believe that. If the writings of Confucius are the things you enjoy, then believe them. If this is just another piece of literature, it's no different from the rest. And so, believe whatever you want to. But, if it is different from every other writing in the world, then examine it. And take it to heart, because all the people in the world who pass judgment upon this book are someday going to have to answer because of the judgment that they pass on this book. And, if you have read it and have wondered, is it different from anything else? If you read attentively, you're asking that question, is unjustifiable. Because every scripture I read you gives us a testimony as to what the Lord Jesus Christ thought of this book and what he said concerning his own word. If I found one verse of scripture where the Savior gave an estimate of his words, what was their origin? If I gave you one scripture, then you would have original evidence as to what the Lord Jesus taught about the things that he said to men when he was on earth. But I gave you scripture after scripture after scripture, and you do not realize this. But there are no less than 13 scriptures in the Gospel of John that tell us the same thing, and they are this, that this book that contains the saying of our Lord Jesus Christ is different from every other book, because his sayings are God's sayings. And therefore, it is no longer this. Some people say that the Bible is just another piece of literature. If it had somebody in this book that was an ordinary man, if it did not tell us about one who came from God and claimed to be the I Am, then you would have a right to read it and evaluate it, compare it with other books that are reverenced by religious cults that are in the world. But once the man who is the central figure in this book makes this statement about his words, that his words are God's words, then the character of the evaluation of this book changes completely. If I tell you every word that I'm speaking to you is directly inspired of God, nothing ever comes from my lips other than what God tells me to tell you, then it should give you pause. And you should either accept it or reject me as a man that is a fool. And I would never tell you that thing. I would tell you this, that as best I am enabled by the Spirit of God, I bring only to you the truth of God as it's contained in this book. But if you record what is said and then listen to what is said, you will find mistakes that you made, unintentional mistakes, dates that are wrong, books that you quote from, and yet the verse may not be in that book but in another book, saying that one man did one thing when it was another man that did another thing. And yet, as much as I'm able, I try to bring to your attention only that which is of God. But if I told you everything I say is of God, then you have to evaluate me as a man who is mad or satanically inspired or a liar that is trying to deceive you and reject my testimony. And for that reason, it is the same concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. You no longer can say, well, Jesus was a fine prophet. He was a teacher. He was a man of truth. He was a liar. If he said, everything I tell you comes from heaven, all the words that I speak come from God. If he told you that, and it taught, then he is a liar. Do you understand that? You say, well, if he's a liar, then he's not the Savior I'm looking for. That is correct. And if he said every word I spake came from God, and it's true, think of the great responsibility that is yours to listen to every word that Jesus Christ ever uttered. And this is what he tells us. He said that all the words that I speak, they come from God. And so, if the world says that this book is just another piece of literature, and the Lord Jesus said, my words in this book are the very words of God, then sometime you're going to have to make a decision whether to listen to those who do not believe at Pembroke State University, at the University of North Carolina, or NC State University, all the people who are in this town who deny the veracity of this book. Eventually, you're going to have to make a decision as to whether you believe this book to be God's word or whether you reject it as being God's word. And I have no sympathy to those who say, well, it isn't God's word, but I have a sentimental attachment to it. Why, that is absurd. Suppose you had a serious heart problem, and there was a medicine that could cure this heart trouble. But you found out that there was nothing to this medicine, but you said, well, I'm going to take it anyway. I have a sentimental attachment to it. What a fool you would be. And in like manner, those people who do not believe in this book, and yet when they're about to die, they like to read such passages as, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead. Who, when they are afraid, they like to read, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. But they do not believe that this book is true. That the Lord, I do not know if there is a Lord, and if I'm walking through the valley of the shadow of death, I do not know that God is with me, but it's comforting, and psychologically it's good to read such passages as these. I would tell you to forget all of those things and face up to reality and either reject this and all literature as giving comfort, true comfort, in the time of trouble, or accept it as it is indeed the Word of God and embrace it and clutch it to your heart as that which can cure the brokenhearted. This book which is the balm in Gilead. And there is no longer a maybe about it. You either have to accept it or reject it on testimony of Jesus Christ, our Lord. If there were one verse, somebody could say, well, the disciples just inserted this because they thought it would be good to put it in. But what do you say when you find all through this Gospel of John alone, the Lord Jesus saying 12 times the same thing? That all of his words that he spoke were taught him by the Father. What can you do then? You say, well, an honest man either has to accept his words as as a god, or has to reject them and seek comfort somewhere else. And that is true. And that is the first thing I want to impress upon your heart, that there was no doubt in the mind of the Lord Jesus Christ as to the origin of his words. He was not like the philosophers who are in the world, and you read them and they weary you. If you try to read Aristotle, and then if you come to Hegel and Schopenhauer and William James, and you come to all the philosophers of the world, they do not tell you that their philosophy is God's philosophy. What they do is this. They say, I have examined the world, and this is my philosophy. The Lord Jesus Christ said, what I tell you is not my philosophy. It is what my Father in heaven told me to tell you, and I tell you. You see the difference? That is why my heart is saddened when I think of young people going to a university and listening to all the philosophies of men. And since they are the philosophies of men, they are of no eternal heavenly value. They simply give you good advice, and I acknowledge that. They give you the best of advice, the good one, as to how to live successfully and happily in this world. Whereas, many of the times, those that give this advice, they live miserable lives. In telling others how to live, they were unable to live lives themselves. They turn out to be those whose families are broken up, who commit suicide. Why, they are immoral characters. You read them, check their lives, and then see if you want to pattern your life after theirs. And yet, they tell you, this is my philosophy. They do not claim any help from God because they do not believe in God. Or if they do believe in God, they like to be proud and say, I did not get this from God. I got this from independent study. And these are the ones that you are listening to and trusting in for your guide through life. And then when you are ready to die, I tell you, take up one of these books by your philosophers and read it when you're ready to go from this life into the next and see what comfort it brings to your heart. See if it strengthens you when you're about ready to die. You're going to leap in the dark, and they will tell you that there is nothing but blackness that lies ahead. Whereas the Lord Jesus Christ said, I am the light of the world. And this is what you can read just before you close your eyes in darkness. And the Lord Jesus said that if you belong to him, as in the case of Lazarus, he will send angels to gather you and take you to his presence. And he tells you this, that if you live long enough, he will come back and you will not have to die at all. Now, if you simply have a sentimental attachment to this book and there is no truth, by all means reject it. But if it is true, then I want you to look upon the philosophies of men and all the teachings that are given in the world today, atheism and scientific literature. If it's true, then forget about this book. If there is no God, if there is no God who made us of the dust of the earth and breathed into our nostrils the breath of life, then forget this book. It is worthless to you. It is simply, as people say, an opium to help people get through the realities of life. And so, reject it. If there is no God, why pretend that there is a God? Why pretend that you have to answer to this God if there is no God? This sentimental attachment to that book, this religious feeling, it's nothing if there is no God. But if there is a God, and what man ever revealed God the way the Lord Jesus Christ did, if it is, then God holds you accountable. And if you have read not all the books of the Bible, but simply the Gospel of John, you heard him say 12 times, you cannot miss it. He said 12 times that the words that I speak, the words that I have heard, the commandments that I give, they were all taught me by my Father. And I say this not only to you who are seeking, but for those who profess to be Christians, who are slowly getting away from this book, somehow trust it less, somehow the wiser worldlings become and make attacks upon this book, the more you look at it with hesitation, the more you have doubt when you look at it. I want to reinforce what God's Son said by telling you all the scriptures that he said contained words that came from God, and he said it 12 times. All right, think of this for a moment. In the first reference, it was not the Savior who spoke. There are 13 references. But in the first instance, It was a man who had looked upon his life from the beginning of his public ministry. And John, the beloved apostle, said this concerning Christ. He said, "He that cometh from above is above all." And it says, "He speaketh the words of God, because he giveth not the Spirit to him by measure." Think of this testimony. Here is one, and this is a marvel. Here is a man that was an eyewitness and a disciple of Christ for over 3 years. He has evaluated the Lord Jesus Christ, and he said, "He that is from above speaketh the words of God, for God giveth him not the Spirit by measure." Now, think of your folly. You are listening to men today who are blinded in their heart, who have no first-hand knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, and they make a pronouncement upon the Savior that I'm presenting to you this morning. They, 1,900 years removed from him, make a pronouncement upon him. Here is another man whose gospel has the ring of truth to it. He says, "I was with him. I saw him on the holy mount. I listened to him preach. I saw him raise Lazarus from the dead. I saw him crucified at Calvary. I saw him alive that third day, risen from the dead." Here is a man who saw him, who lived with him. He says, "This is what I say, an eyewitness." And then you turn to some man who knows nothing about Jesus, and you listen to that testimony, fooled and blind, and yet the world is filled with such. If the Bible were filled with lies and distortions, but you look at them, and all of the gospel accounts give a harmonious account of this person, independent, so that they cannot be gathered together, and this thing somehow arranged, Matthew and Mark and Luke and John, and we must get this thing right so that we can deceive the world. No, but Matthew, knowing these things independently, as well as John, they were both eyewitnesses, and he did not have to go to John and say, "Now, tell me, did Jesus raise Lazarus from the dead?" Why, John would say, "You were there." And Matthew would say to John, "You were there." They did not have to fix the word of God in such a way that it seemed to be the truth, because it was true. If someone asked me about Pembroke when I came down and preached today, I could tell them about it, because I was an eyewitness. And in like manner, Matthew was an eyewitness and John was an eyewitness. And John, after having examined the Savior in life, in death, and in resurrection life, he said, "He that cometh from above is above all. He that is of God speaketh the word of God, for he giveth not the Spirit by measure unto him." Now, what kind of honest seeker are you when you have a first-hand eyewitness who tells you he is true, and you have others that flood in and hasten to tell you that you are being deceived by this man? You see the folly of those who will not believe in the Lord Jesus Christ? We have the testimony of four, not of one, but of four, and I've given you testimonies from the Gospel of John. And John said this, "He came from heaven, and the words that he spoke were the words of God." And he said, "The source of those words that came from God was the Holy Spirit. He gave not the Spirit by measure." Now, I told you about the Gospel, but I want to tell you about what Hebrews says, and what Timothy, a letter written to him by Paul, what they say as well. This is what Hebrews says. It says that God of olden time, God in time past, spake unto the fathers in many portions and in many manners. He spoke to the fathers in the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us in his Son. And so we are told that God has been speaking from the beginning. God has had his prophets from the very beginning. Noah was a preacher of righteousness. And Enoch was also a prophet. God from the beginning has had his prophet. And it said, God of old times spake unto the fathers in the prophets, but by many portions, in many manners. It says, in these last days, he hath spoken unto us in his Son. What does it mean then? It means that God no longer has spoken in a fragmentary way. No longer spoken in men upon whom the Spirit would come for a little while and inspire them. And then, when the Spirit stopped inspiring them, they would speak their own words. God did speak. Holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit in the Old Testament. But what they spake was partial, fragmentary, and the Spirit coming upon them was momentary. But when the Lord Jesus Christ came upon the scene, he was like that meal that was soaked in oil, saturated, the Spirit of God completely dominating his life. And at times that Spirit had saturated his life, pictured in the oil upon the meal. At special times, then there was the anointing of the meal. There was a mixture of the oil with the meal. All of these various aspects of the Spirit of God in the life of Christ. But what God wants us to know, that at no time in his life was he devoid of the Spirit, and in no time in his life was the Spirit given by measure. He had the Spirit measurelessly. He giveth not the Spirit by measure. And therefore, here is one through whom God can communicate by his Spirit all things that he wants to say. This is what he tells us in Hebrews. But listen to this. There are so many things that the prophets of God in the Old Testament were teeming after that they did not receive information from by the Spirit of God. But the Lord Jesus Christ received information in all areas of truth. This is what it says in Second Timothy. It says that by the appearing of Jesus Christ, he abolished death and brought life and immortality to light. And you look in the Old Testament, and you try to find out about life and immortality, and you will find little glimpses here, a little twinkle of light in the darkness. But God said, I have reserved the light of heaven for the coming of my Son. And it said, by the appearing of Jesus Christ, death that had been the victor, it says, by the appearing of Christ, he abolished death and brought life and immortality to light. And when Christ came upon the scene, the darkness of the world was dispersed with a burst of light that came from his lips, because the Spirit of God and the Father spoke to him and told him everything about every subject, and he passed this on to the Son of Man. And this is what God tells us about the Word that he's given us. This is the thing that thrills our souls, and this is wherein we trust. And so, if you ask, well, did Jesus really believe that his words were the words of God? He said it 12 times. Now you answer the question for me. He said it, and this is what is so thrilling. He said it to the lost. He said it to the saved. And he said it to God, his Father. Now, there are wicked sinners in the world, and I'm thinking, if I were not a Christian, and I wanted to get money from you, I might deceive you. But if I'm alone in prayer, I do not think I shall try to deceive God. You understand? Now, if I'm praying before you, I may pray in such a way trying to deceive you. But in John chapter 17, it says, the Savior lifted up his eyes to heaven, and he said, Father, the hour is come. And this is what he said. He said, the words which you gave me, I have given them. And they received them, and they knew of a truth that I came from heaven, and they believe that you sent me. You see the difference? He told men, my words are from God. He told it to unsaved men. He told his disciples, the Father abiding in me doeth his work. The words that I speak unto you are not my words, but the Father abiding in me. He told sinners that his words were the word of God. He told disciples that his words were the word of God. And he said at the end of his life, just before he went to the cross, he said, Father, I have given them thy word. The words that you gave me, I have given unto them.